we're so thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call tonight. Our speaker tonight, Brother Corey Johnson, he will speak on the topic, God's Plan of Salvation. He serves as a pulpit minister of the Allen Church of Christ for 3 years. He also teaches classes for Online Academy of Biblical Studies. Without any further ado, we ask him to come on, make it plain tonight, Brother Corey, by God's plan of salvation. Let's do it, Brother Corey.
Hello, my name is Corey Johnson, and like Brother Brooks said, I'm the minister for the Allen, Oklahoma Church of Christ. And it's a great honor to be here today with you and to be able to proclaim the gospel, God's saving message to the world. So the topic that we have assigned today is God's plan of salvation. So we're going to get right into it, and we're going to make it plain about God's plan of salvation. Man has made many different plans of salvation. They have come up with schemes of their own and ways to be saved that are not found in the scriptures, such as the sinner's prayer, saved by faith alone and saved by grace only. You see, this is a problem because the Bible teaches only one way to be saved. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me." So if Jesus made it plain that he is the only way to salvation, how can man say that there are other ways to salvation which are not in his word? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, if we do not have book, chapter, and verse for what we teach, if we do not have book, chapter, and verse for everything that we have done in order to be saved, then we are wrong. And today, we're going to be talking about God's plan of salvation and that there is only one way, the way the Scripture says. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You see, the Bible says there is only one way which leads to the Father. That's through Jesus and Jesus' word. You see, if you go any other way except for the way in which God has said, then it leads to the wrong place. Yes, there are two paths in this life. But there's only one path that leads to heaven, and there's one path that leads to hell. And we need to be on the right path. You see, man has complicated God's simple plan of salvation by perverting it. And this perversion goes all the way back to the New Testament. Turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where Paul tells the church at Galatia, "I marvel that you are so soon turning away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." You see, this perversion of God's plan of salvation robs it of its saving strength, and it curses the individual who does it. You see, not even an angel from heaven has the right to change God's plan of salvation. Thus, when God says this is the way, and we say, no, we want it our way, we curse ourselves. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." You see, Paul was teaching God's way of salvation. He was giving the people that would listen God's plan of salvation. But even back then, they were perverting it and they were changing it. And Paul was warning them, don't do that, brothers and sisters, because when you do, you curse yourself. You can't make it to heaven with a perversion of the gospel. You have to have the gospel the way that God wants you to have it. When this perversion takes place, all worship to God is vain. Brothers and sisters, people that are listening to me today, listen to the words that I'm speaking to you today. Because when we pervert God's saving message, all worship to him is vain. in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, "And in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." You see, anything that is not in God's word is a commandment of man. And a commandment of man cannot save you. If you cannot find your way, your plan of salvation in the scriptures, then it is a commandment of man. The blessing in all this is that amongst all the chaos and confusion of all the different denominations and their plans of salvation, God has made his plan plain and simple and easy to understand. Why might you ask that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, God through Paul said this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." You see, with those plans of salvation that I was talking about earlier, the sinner's prayer, saved by grace only, saved by faith only, you see, they are confusion in the world. You see, there's as many different variations of these false plans of salvation as there are a number of different denominations in the world. Can you see how that is confusing? It's so confusing because this way, these people say do it this way. These people say do it that way. These people over here say do it that way. But you see, the only person you have to listen to is God. God is the only one that you have to listen to because he is not the author of confusion. You see, God has made the truth where we can find it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." This is because God has made his truth available. He's made it available to all. He has given it to us in the form of his word. And in John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is the only thing that matters. There's nothing else in this world that matters but the truth, because the truth is the only thing that can set you free. And in John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So in today, when we're looking for God's plain and simple plan of salvation, all we have to do is go to his word. So today we are going to go to his word, and we're going to see what's in God's word about the plan of salvation. Well, the first step in God's plan of salvation is everyone must hear the gospel. You see, in order to be saved, you have to hear the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. And this is where it's so vital that you have your Bibles and you have them open and you turn with me to these verses and we see what the Bible has to say about God's plan of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, the message has to go out. It has to go forth. You have to hear the message in order to have faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer of Hebrews says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, and it's impossible to please God without having faith, then you must, let me say it again, you must hear the gospel in order to be saved. If someone is going to be saved by God's plan of salvation, then they must hear the gospel. In every conversion story in the scriptures, the gospel is proclaimed. In the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." You see, he was about to preach the gospel to them. He was about to tell them what they needed to do to be saved. It's also in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 with Simon the sorcerer. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You see, Simon had to hear the message of the gospel preached, proclaimed, before he could be saved. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, then Peter opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, the story of Saul of Tarsus, we all know who Saul of Tarsus is. He became the great apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, so he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Listen to those words. And you will be told what you must do. If he had not went into the city and found Ananias, the gospel preacher, he would have never heard the message in order to be saved. What did Ananias tell him? Well, it's found in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And why tarriest thou, speaking to Paul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We'll get to that later. In Cornelius, the account of Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and verse 18. In Acts chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Notice with me again what he said. He will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. Lydia, in Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where we prayed, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Notice those words again. She was to heed the things spoken by Paul. John's disciples at Ephesus were told the same thing. In Acts chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see two things from all these accounts. We see that the message had to be preached, and we see what was preached. The Ethiopian eunuch, he started the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, they preached about Jesus. All in all of these accounts, they preached unto Jesus. And we also find that preaching Jesus includes baptism. But the first step in God's plan of salvation is that the message must be heard. It doesn't say that men must be heard. It doesn't say that men's commandments are what saves. The message of the gospel is what had to be heard. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, if the message of the gospel is not preached, then they have no opportunity to be saved. The second step in God's plan of salvation is everyone must believe the gospel. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. If someone is going to be saved by God's plan of salvation, then they must believe the gospel. You see, this only makes sense. If the first step in God's plan of salvation is the gospel must be preached, then the second step is everyone that hears it. Everyone that hears the truth proclaimed has to believe it. In every conversion story in the scriptures, the gospel had to be believed. Obedience is the key to understanding whether or not someone believes the gospel or not. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Why would you obey if you do not believe? So, the gospel has to be believed. Thus, if someone has been obedient to the gospel, it can be inferred that they believed. This is why Jesus only had to say, But he who does not believe will be condemned at the end of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. If you do not believe, you will not be obedient. Thus, you will not be baptized. Obedience is key to understanding whether someone believes or not. You see, if the building is on fire and you're sitting in a pew of the church building and somebody comes running into the auditorium and says, "Brother so-and-so, the building's on fire. You better save yourself." And you stay sitting in the pew and you don't get up and go out of the building, then you do not believe that the building's on fire. The right response to the building's on fire, if you believe the person that's telling you, is to get up and move out the door as fast as possible. That shows that you believed the person. When the gospel is presented, when the gospel is preached, and you find out what Jesus did for you, and you find out that you have to hear the message, you have to believe the message, you have to confess that he is God, you have to repent of your sins, and you have to be baptized. If you don't get up and be obedient to it, then you do not believe. So if we can show later in the sermon that in every conversion story they were obedient to the gospel and baptized, then we can infer that they all believed, whether it is directly stated or not. The third step in God's plan of salvation is everyone must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." If someone is going to be saved by God's plan of salvation, then they must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If one believes, then one is going to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, if one believes the message that is presented, then there is no other option but to confess that he is the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Since confession is necessary for salvation, then if one believes and will not be put to shame, then confession can be inferred in every conversion. In every conversion story in the scriptures, confession had to be made that Jesus is the Son of God. Why? Why do you say that, Brother Jonathan? Because Jesus said, "If you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before your Father who is in heaven." How can you be saved if he doesn't confess you before the Father who is in heaven? If he denies you before the Father who is in heaven, then you can't be saved. Thus, in every conversion story, whether it is directly stated or not, confession had to be made. The fourth step in God's plan of salvation is everyone must repent of their sins. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, in Luke 13 and verse 5, these verses say the same thing. And one of the things that we know about something is that when it is repeated, it's very, very important. So listen to the words of Jesus when I read this verse. "I tell you no, but unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And brothers and sisters, this is so important in the world today because we don't understand what repentance is. Repentance is turning away from what you're doing and walking in the other direction. You see, if you repent of going in one direction, you must turn and walk in the other direction. You see, brothers and sisters, you cannot continue in your sin and say that you've repented. It's not possible. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." You see, brothers and sisters, we have to truly understand what repentance is. It's turning away from the wrong, from the sinful things in our lives, and walking in a different direction, going toward God. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" You see, we cannot walk with God and walk in sin. sin separates us from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we find that sin puts a wall between us and God. We cannot continue in the path of sin and expect to be saved. The scripture records that anyone who desires to be saved must repent of sins with no exceptions. Look at Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Let me ask you a question. Who does everyone leave out? Everyone must repent. Everyone everywhere, with no exceptions. If you have sin in your life, I'm pleading with you today to repent of it. Because as long as you stubbornly hold on to it, you cannot go through God's plan of salvation and be successful at the end. You must let go of it. You must turn your life over to God. You must present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. In every conversion story in the scriptures, repentance had to be precede salvation, because repentance leads to salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Brothers and sisters, if all you have is the sorrow of the world, sorry that you got caught, and that's all, then you have nothing. You truly have to repent of your sins in order to walk the path that God wants you to walk. In order to go through the plan of salvation, you have to understand what repentance is, and you have to be willing to let sin go. There's the key right there, because so many people in the world today, they're not willing to let sin go. They want God to accept them the way that they are, but that's never going to happen. We have to let go of sin. We have to walk away from it. This concept is shown on the day of Pentecost when people asked what they must do. And Peter responded, repent and let each one of you be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. You see, they were pricked to the heart that day. And they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? And the very first thing he said in verse 38 was repent. Repent. Let go of the sin that is in your life and serve God. You see, turn away from it and serve the Almighty. The fifth step in God's plan of salvation is everyone must be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. There, just like with repentance, there is no exception to this rule. Everyone that is living today has to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. You might ask, why? Why, Brother Corey? Why does this have to be this way? Well, it's because God said so. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the day of Pentecost, what we've just been talking about, when they were pricked to the heart, Peter responded to them. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's something here that I want you to focus on with me for just a moment. Notice what he said. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. You see, he didn't say repent and let some of you be baptized. He didn't skip the baptism entirely and say all you have to do is believe. Well, all you have to do is say this sinner's prayer. No, notice what he said. Every single one of you. He focused on that. He said repent and let every single one of you be baptized. That leaves no one out. If someone is going to be saved by God's plan of salvation, then they must be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is also an antitype which now saves us. How more plain could that be? Could he get any more plain with his wording? That baptism doth now save us. In every conversion story in the scriptures, the people were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, with belief, with confession, and with repentance, we can infer that these things happened because of what took place. It's not necessarily stated in every single one of them, but we know that they took place. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Nobody in the denominational world is ever going to say that those things didn't take place. Everyone's going to say, yes, they had to believe. Everyone's going to say, yes, they had to repent. Yes, everyone is going to say, yes, they had to confess. But do you know what? In every single conversion story in the New Testament, baptism is directly stated. God in his foreknowledge would know what we were going to have a problem with. And he's going to take it out of the way. At least for people that will listen to the word of God, he's going to take that argument and he's going to throw it out the door and he's going to say, look, in every single conversion story in the scriptures, baptism is necessary. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Simon the sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, with Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. With Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 47 through 48. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Lydia in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. John's disciples in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is not one single conversion story in all of the New Testament where baptism is not present. Not a single one. Does that tell us something? Does it tell us the importance of this? If that doesn't, then Jesus' words himself in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 should ring loud in our ears when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. You see, there is a formula there given in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The word has to be heard, thus they have to go into the world. They have to believe it, and with belief comes repentance and confession. And then they have to be baptized in order to be saved. You see, it's all there. Every single thing is there. Why would we argue with our Lord? Why would we say, Jesus, you're wrong. We don't have to be baptized. You see, that's a very dangerous stance to take. Arguing with God. There's one last step in God's plan of salvation, and that is you must remain faithful unto death. You can hear the message of the gospel preached. You can believe it. You can confess. You can repent, and you can be baptized. But if you don't remain faithful, it does you absolutely no good. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Today, you've heard the gospel, the God's plan of salvation preached. It's been made plain and simple, and it's been directly from his word. The question is, are you ready to obey it? Are you ready to say, I have faith in Jesus Christ and I will believe it, I will trust him, and I will be obedient to it. Now that you've heard this from the scriptures, God's plan of salvation, the question is, are you brave enough to stand with God? There's a whole bunch of people in the world today that say all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. There's a whole bunch of people in the world today that say all you have to do is believe or have faith. Or grace only saves. But you have to be brave and have great courage to stand with God and say, no, you're wrong. Because you know what's going to happen when you stand with God? The world's not going to like it. They're going to rebel back against you. Matter of fact, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so they did the fathers and false prophets who came before you. You see, when all men speak well of you, you know you have a problem. You have a problem. If you stand with God, you'll be treated like Jesus on some occasions. That means you have to be brave. You have to have courage in order to stand with God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul told the preacher Timothy, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So let me ask you the question today. Are you willing to suffer persecution and stand with God for the truth? Or do you want to take the easy way out? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, saying that you're a Christian is not good enough. Giving lip service to God is not good enough. It's not going to save you. You have to be willing to stand up for the truth. You have to be willing to do what's necessary in order to be saved. God's word says you must hear the word. You must believe it. You must confess that he is the Son of God. You must repent of your ways, your sinful ways, and you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, God, he's ready. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So the invitation has been given. It's been given by Jesus himself. He stands at the door, and he knocks. And he's waiting for those who are willing to be obedient to the message. Willing to be obedient to him. Because you know why? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You see, it's the only way that we can show God that we love him is if we are obedient to him. John chapter 14 and verse 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, he says, I call you my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, the only way that we can show God that we love him is to be obedient. So one last time before I turn this message back over to our host, do you love God? If you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you're not showing it because he said it's an absolute must. And if you've wandered away from him, if you've walked away from him, show him that you love him today by coming back to him because he cares for you. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. Make your life right with him today. That's the whole purpose of what we're doing today. The whole purpose of making it plain is so that we can serve the Master. I turn it back over to Brother Brooks.